In Exodus chapter number 5, we see the children of Israel in captivity. They've been in captivity for years. Everything in the Bible is there for a purpose. No accidents. Every word is there for a reason. God knew that they were in captivity. If you feel like you're in captivity this evening, God knows where you're at. God knows what He's doing. In Exodus chapter 5, verse number 4, Pharaoh says a strange thing. He makes a statement. And although Pharaoh is a wicked leader, God used that leader to make a statement and chose to put that statement in the Bible. He said to the children of Israel, "Get back to your burdens. Get back to your burdens." Let me explain that statement. The children of Israel being abused. They were being mistreated. And they had stopped working, and they were rebelling against Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "What you need to do is you need to get back to your burden." And I want to say to you this evening, most of us will not escape our burdens. You can choose to let that burden get you down, or you can get on top of that burden and you can lick it. It's up to you. Now, everybody here, as Brother Hiles has told us, everybody here has a burden now, or you will have a burden someday. Young people, please listen to me. Your day will come. What happens to you now may seem petty, but I'm promising you the day will come when your heart will be broken and you will face a great burden. You know, I've noticed something about people. I've noticed it would be very difficult sometimes to read people. We misread people sometimes. We think that somebody's rebellious. You know, I've noticed that people that are burdened and people that are rebellious sometimes look the same way on the outside, but they're different on the inside. Be careful not to get people mixed up. There are people sitting in this room right now, and you think, well, obviously that is a look of rebellion, when probably it's a look of a broken heart, and it's a look of distress. And so let's all be real careful as we deal with one another in the church and as we deal with one another in the ministry and while we're out in the world. Brother Hiles used to end the broadcast by saying, "Let's be kind to everyone because everyone's having a tough time." And if you're not having a tough time today, you'll have one tomorrow. Your time's coming. I'm going to tell you a story, and the story will lead me to the message. There was an ant. The Bible speaks of the ant. The Bible tells a sluggard to look at the ant. I'm going to use an ant as an illustration to help me to teach the truth that I have for you this evening. This ant had the desire to build something, and he knew something needed to be built. So he took off on a journey to find the building supplies necessary. He knew, though, of one particular stick that he had to have. This stick would have to be big. It would have to be heavy. It would have to be durable. A certain length. This stick was very important. It was the backbone of the structure he was about to build. He traveled up the sidewalk. Now, you have to understand that to us, the sidewalk is just a few steps wide, but to him, it was like an eight-lane highway. And he risked his life out there on that sidewalk, but he couldn't find this stick that he had to have. He then got off into the grass. Now, to you and I, someone's lawn, it wasn't no big deal, but to him, it was like a tropical rainforest. He traveled through that rainforest looking for that particular stick. He had to have a certain stick, a certain size, but he couldn't find a stick that would be the backbone of his structure. And so he started off into a child's sandbox. Oh, again, to us, just a little sandbox, a few toys in it, but to him, the Sahara Desert. It was hot. It was big. His footing, he was unsteady. He walked across that sandbox, and just on the other side of that Sahara Desert, he found it. It was a matchstick, a wooden matchstick. It had already been burnt, but the stick was still intact. Boy, was he pleased, because this was the very stick that he needed to complete his structure. This is what he'd been searching for. This is why he had risked his life on the 8-lane highway and then out through the tropical forest and then across the Sahara Desert. That's what he needed. This was it. The only way he could figure to get it back to his anthill was to carry it. And he picked that stick up and he put it on his back, and oh, was it heavy. Oh, was this stick heavy, and oh, was the burden heavy that he had to bear. He looked back, and now the sun was setting, and he realized that it was a long way back home. He would have to go back across the desert now with a heavy burden. He would have to travel through the tropical rainforest, but now he's laden with this burden. And then finally, on that dangerous highway, and he'd have to carry the stick all along. It was dangerous enough without the burden, now a burden. He got a little discouraged. He looked around, and he noticed something. He noticed a fence, like the privacy fence of a home, but this privacy fence was of a wealthy home. It was not built of wood, but it was built of brick, red brick. Brick upon brick with mortar or cement holding them together, and the fence went up into the air about 8 or 10 feet. The way they built this fence is on one end of it, it had an incline, almost like a ramp. He looked over that thing and he said, I've seen that fence somewhere before. He said, I know where I've seen it. Hey, the other end of that fence is right by my anthill. And on that end of the fence, there's an incline that comes down. He said, I've got an idea. I will climb up the incline of that fence, and I'll get up on top of the fence, and I'll travel that fence all the way over to my anthill. I won't have to go on the 8-lane highway, and I'll not have to go through the tropical rainforest, and I'll not have to go back through the Sahara Desert. That's what I'll do. So up the incline he went. Oh, he was burdened down. Oh, how heavy that stick was. It seemed that it was heavier than he. But he kept walking and struggling, and he thought, but I'll get to my destination, and I'll build that structure, and now I've got the key to my building. I've got it right here. I've got it on my back. Boy, he traveled and traveled. Now, it was scary up there to him. To us, again, just an 8-foot-high privacy fence, but to him, like being on top of a 20-story building. The wind was brisk, but it was a good thing he had that burden on his back. A few times he thought it would blow him off that fence. Well, he was getting close, and he's seen it wasn't very many steps, just 3 or 4 more bricks up the road. Hey, he would be able to start going down, and he could already see his anthill at the end of the incline on the other end of the fence. He took a couple steps onto a brick, and then all of a sudden, he realized something. He came to the end of one brick, and the man that had built the fence had not put mortar in between two bricks, and so there was a great gap. To us, an inch or two, that's all. Not much. We could jump over it. To him, the Grand Canyon. He looked down, and some of the brick began to break off, and it tumbled down the side of the mountain, and he could barely hear it hit the bottom. He stepped back away from it. He thought, I can't believe this has happened to me. What am I going to do? He started to lay the stick down and thought, I might as well just leave it here and go on. And then it hit him. I've got it. He turned back around and he picked up that matchstick. He very carefully laid that matchstick from one brick across that Grand Canyon onto the other brick. He very carefully, like a tightrope walker, walked across that stick to the other side. When he reached the other side, he brushed himself off, he picked up the stick and put it on his back, and he went on his way. He made the burden that he had carried on his back into a bridge. He'd made his burden into a bridge. And I want everybody in this building tonight to take your burden and turn it into a bridge. You're going to face a burden someday, and many of you have burdens right now. And you're like the ant. You say, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe this is so heavy. But let me tell you something. That burden's not there to destroy you. It's there to make you into something. And all all of us have burdens, and I have burdens, and you have burdens. And if you don't have a burden tonight, I promise you, by the end of the week, by the end of the year, by the end of the month, your time's coming, and you're going to have a burden. And I just want you to know that you can take that burden, and you can turn it into a bridge. That burden doesn't have to get you down. Turn it in to a bridge. I only have three simple thoughts about this. They'll be easy to follow. But I beg of you, take your burden and turn it into a bridge. I don't know what that burden is. I don't know what that heartache is. I don't know if that is a heartache of ill health, or the heartache of betrayal, or the heartache of the death of a loved one. I don't know what your heartache is. And many of you, you don't share your heartaches with us. I don't share my heartaches. I hold them in. I take them to God. I have a few good friends that I take my heartaches to, but for the most part, you don't want to hear me whine, and I don't want to hear you whine. But in your heart tonight, I want us to connect for just a little while, and let me help you with your burden. Let me help you know what to do with your burden. I've got to take a second and thank Mrs. Burke for the song earlier. You can survive. You can survive. You know, when I get a burden, I try not to just survive it. I try to thrive through it. I try to make something of it. I try to get something out of it. There's some reason this came to me. I've got to figure it out. I've got to make something good of it. Take your burden and turn it into a bridge. My first thought is this. The heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge can be. The heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge could be. You see, had that ant been carrying a piece of string, well, that would have been much lighter than the matchstick. Or had that ant been carrying the petal of a flower, that would have been easy to carry. That would have been light. But when he would have thrown the petal of that flower out across that great Grand Canyon and stepped onto it, it would have folded on him and he would have tumbled to the ground, and that petal of flower would become his casket. He would have died. He had to have a heavy burden because God needed a strong bridge to help him make it. Hey, listen, God would not allow a burden to come into your life that is too heavy for you to bear. I know you're thinking, I can't believe this is happening. I'm under heavy, heavy strain. My legs are about to give out, or my heart's about to give out. Your heart is strong enough. Your legs are strong enough. Your willpower is strong enough. You can make it. You can do it. You don't have to give up. I promise you, our God is a fair God. Our God is a just God. And God has never put a burden on anyone that was beyond their ability to bear that burden. Whatever it is, you can take it, and you can make it. Hey, and the heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge. You need that strong bridge. If you carry a heavy burden, God is saying you're strong. It is a compliment to you. God is tipping his hat to you and saying, I want to recommend you very highly someday. You can take it and you can make it. Hey, it's not what is God trying to do to you. It is what is God trying to do for you. It is not God trying to break you. It is God trying to make you. Hey, look at that burden for what it is. God is trying to make you into something. And if it's a heavy burden, it's there to build a big bridge. Spoke with a woman whose husband had left her because she was ill. And she said this to me as she wept. We were standing in the back of this church auditorium and she started to weep. She'd been diagnosed with a terrible disease and she was stuck in a wheelchair and she started to cry and she said, Brother Owens, am I so very, very weak that this has happened to me? I said, no, ma'am. You're very, very strong. That's why it's happened to you. The devil wants to tell you you're weak. He's lying to you. You're strong. It is a compliment from the God that loves you. You can take it. We sing the song at our house, and I'm sure you do from time to time. We sing, Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. We have a verse that we sing. It goes, the heavier the cross, the brighter the crown, the heavier the cross, the brighter the crown, the heavier the cross, the brighter the crown, way beyond the blue. Let me tell you something. If you have a heavy burden to bear tonight, God is complimenting you. God is saying to you, I trust you with this. You can take it. You can make it. I know you can. 14-year-old girl sat in my office. Her mother said, I can't do anything with her, Brother Owens. Please, can you help us? Her mother's heart was broken, and the little girl began to tell me this. Not a little girl. She was a young adult. She said this. She said, Brother Owens, my dad left us. She said, no, how I loved him. And he left us. She said, so we went to live with my grandparents. Brother Owens, I just started to love my grandpa with everything I had. When my grandma died, I clung to my grandpa. She said, and then my grandpa died. And she said, I didn't understand God. I didn't understand what was happening. My daddy leaves me, my grandma leaves me, my grandpa leaves me. She said, I went to visit my father. She said, I'm the one that found him. I said, what do you mean? She said, he hung himself. Brother Owens, I found him. She said, I don't understand. I began to weep. And I said, I'm very honored to be in your presence. She said, what do you mean? I'm honored to be in the presence of a 14-year-old that God believes in that much. She said, you think God believes in me? I said, God would not allow a 14-year-old girl to carry such a heavy burden if he didn't believe in her an awful lot. She said, you think God's going to use me? I said, I know he's going to use you. I know he's going to use you. She said, really think that, Brother Owens? You think? She said, I thought this was going to kill me. I said, no, this is going to make you. This is going to bring you alive. That's what God's doing. God trusts you. God believes in you. God loves you. He wouldn't put it on you if you couldn't take it. And everybody across this room, from that corner to that corner, I don't know what your heartache is. I don't know what you think, but I'm telling you, God loves you, and he's not forsaking you. He believes in you. And the heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge. Listen, folks, don't waste your burden. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Use it. Use that thing. Turn it into something for God. That's why God gave it to you. He's not trying to break you. He's trying to make you. He's trying to do something with your life. Don't fight him. He's a carpenter. He's building on you. Let him build you. Turn your burden into a bridge. Hey, and the heavier your burden, the stronger the potential of your bridge. My second thought is this. Let your burden be a bridge to your success. If we're going to build a bridge, let's not just build a bridge. Let's not make it through it just to say we did. Let's make it through it and let it be one of the keys to our success. When that ant was looking for that stick, he was about to build something, and that burden was the backbone of his structure. I seen Brother Dan Wolf and his wife Janice going up the stairway earlier while my wife and I were on our way to my office. We greeted them, and then I got to thinking about Brother Wolf was a young man. Those of you that don't know him, he lost one arm to an accident. He has an artificial arm, just a little bit like my wife. She wears a wig. You know, I got a feeling I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I'll turn that burden into a bridge. Bridge right to a hotel room tonight. Brother Wolf, when he was a young man, was helping his father work making pizza. They owned a little business, and they were grinding their own cheese, an old-fashioned cheese grinder. They'd push it in. Somehow his fingers got caught into that grinder and it sucked his arm in. Pulled his arm into that grinder and just turned his arm and just ground it up. To the point where they had to surgically remove that grinder from his arm. Now as a young man, it would have been easy for him to moan and to groan and to look down and the absence of the arm to depress him. But he wanted to be like other boys, and he wanted to work hard, and he had this desire to play ball like the other boys, and so he got a basketball, and he only had one hand. Do you know you can dribble a basketball with one hand? You can only dribble it with one hand at a time, matter of fact. And he realized that. He said, I'll dribble with one hand, and you may have two, but I'll use my one and do the best I can. He started dribbling. He thought, I can learn to shoot this thing. And he started shooting. And he started playing, and he started working at it. And you know, before long, he was playing basketball on the school team. And before long, he was a high point man, scoring 20 and 30, and probably 50 points if you ever heard him tell the story. But he was scoring all sorts of points. What had happened? Hey, he didn't let his burden get him down. He let that burden help him to build a bridge to his own success. He worked harder. He just worked at it. And by the way, I can say this. He took his burden and let it be a bridge to his success, and he's now the athletic director at Hiles Anderson College. Hey, when he was just a kid, he made that decision. He said, I'll not let this burden get me down. I'll turn it into something. He wrote a book. Its title, It's Okay to Hurt. What did he do? He took his burden, and he let it help him to become a success. I did not have the privilege as a young man to go to the Christian school. Every teenager in this room, you look at me and you listen very carefully. It is a privilege to go to a Christian school. I said it is a privilege to go to a Christian school. And you're a fool if you want anything less than that. It is a privilege. But I didn't have that privilege. I went to the public school when I was about 15 years old, 16, I started a Bible club in my public high school. We'd meet every day for 30 minutes before school would start in a room there in the school. I taught through the book of Proverbs that year. We called ourselves the Proverbs Club. We had a theme, T-R-O-T. It was teens reaching other teens. Boy, they didn't like me. Never done anything to one particular individual or to anybody, but they just, something about the Bible that bothers people. Boy, it got to them. They didn't like it, and some of the roughnecks in our school decided they were going to give me a hard time. I remember trying to get into a geography class one day, and there were five guys standing out there. Why in the world they wanted to make a hassle out of things, I don't know. But I was walking in. I always carried my Bible to the public school. Now, if you go to a public school, carry your Bible. Don't be ashamed of what you are. If you go to a Christian school, live your Bible. Don't be ashamed of what you are. But I started to walk into my geography class, and one of the guys of a group of five said, you going to class? I said, I am. He said, if you go in class, that book doesn't go with you. I said, I go into class, and this book goes in with me. My pastor told me, he said, Jeff, don't go looking for a fight. I don't know why he would have told me that. He said, don't go looking for a fight. And this guy said, you're not going in, you're not taking the book. I said, I am taking the book. So he knocked my books out of my hands. The next thing you know, a guy swings at me and hits me. All five of them piled on, started fighting me. My pastor said, don't go looking for a fight. So I started swinging back with my eyes closed. I didn't want to see who I'm hitting. I thought at least I could be obedient in some way. I remember them taking a key and writing the filthiest four-letter word that you could imagine on the hood of my car. They scratched it in. I drove out of the parking lot of the school one day. As I drove up the road, my left front tire came off the rim and all. I just seen it sailing up the road without me. It's funny to you now. It wasn't funny then. Somebody had loosened the lug nuts on my car. I was 16. Those were some of the roughest years of my life. I went to my pastor. It was my senior year. I'd gone through it for a couple of years. It was my senior year. I went to see my pastor with about 2 months left in the school year. I went to him. I said, I've had it. I put up with it all I'm going to put up with it. I don't have to tolerate that. I'm not going back. I would walk from my locker room to the lunchroom, and there was a long hallway. Boys would line that hallway and sit on benches, and I'd have to walk in between them. And every day at lunch, this is what they'd do. They'd stomp their feet. They'd stomp their feet like this. All of them in unison. They'd yell, trot. That was a theme of my Bible club. Teens reaching other teens, and they said, "Trot, Billy Bible, trot." It's all I could take. I finally went to my pastor a day in and day out. I went through that sort of stuff. I went to him and said, "I've had it. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I don't have to put up with it." He said, "Jeff, now relax. You only got a couple of months." I said, "Couple of months or not, I put up with it for 3 years. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to put up with it. Preacher, I'm not doing anything wrong." He said, "Jeff, just forget about it and go on. You just got a couple of months to graduation. Then you can get off to Hiles Anderson College." I said, "I don't have to tolerate this. I don't have to put up with it." And my pastor said, "Okay, I guess you're right. If you can't take it, you can't take it." That's why I didn't say I couldn't take it. He said, "No, Jeff," he said, "I think you got a point here. There's no sense in you going through something you can't handle." I said, "What do you mean can't handle? I didn't say I couldn't handle it. I'm not going to put up with it." He said, "No," he said, "I am in full agreement." He said, "I think you ought to drop out today." He said, "I believe you should quit." I said, "I'm not going to quit." He said, "No, Jeff, I want you to quit. I want you to drop out." I said, "I'm not going to quit, and you're not going to make me." I went back to school. Preachers are slick, you know what? I promise you, I thought those were the hardest years of my life. I was teased, I was spit on, I was mocked, my property destroyed. Little did I know, years later, I would graduate from Hiles Anderson College. My hero, Brother Hiles, would call me to his office, and he would say, "I have an opening on my staff as an assistant pastor. I need a man who understands and cares about the public school teenager." What had happened? Somehow, God had helped me to bear the burden of my youth so that I could build a bridge to success. I don't know how this is possible, but I've been here on church staff for 10 years. In the last 10 years, I've preached to over 250,000 teenagers. We've seen over 50,000 public school teenagers saved. You hardly ever, one year of pastor school, Brother Hiles allowed us to present the Bible Club ministry every day, and the opening night, at the end of the week, 400 pastors stood and said, "We're going to start Bible Clubs in our churches." I don't understand it. I was just about 6 months ago, I was invited to preach at a public school in Shreveport, Louisiana. They said, "You can do anything you want, you can say anything you want." And then the principal said, "And we would like for you to encourage them to make some sort of a decision." I said, "No problem, Doc. I've been taught to obey." Preached the gospel to them. 600 young people came trusting Christ as their Savior. What had happened? God had given me a burden. I wondered, could I bear it? Could I take it? I'm telling you, when you're 16 years old and you go through something like that, you think the whole world's against you. When you're losing your friends and they're walking on you and talking about you and giving you a hard time, you wonder, can you take it? But let me tell you something, folks. You can take it. And you're going to take that burden and you turn it into a bridge. And it may be a bridge to your own personal success. Walk on the burden. Don't let it walk on you. Walk on your burden. Don't let it walk on you. Others have. Dr. Tom Williams, the evangelist, Dr. Tom Williams, his wife was stricken with a strange strain of meningitis, all the way to the point of becoming a vegetable, and he had to nurse her back to health. And he had to carry that burden, and it was tough and it was hard. But the video Twice Given and his book Twice Given has gone all around the world. Dr. Lee Robertson had a daughter by the name of Joy. She died tragically, and Dr. Robertson took that burden and he turned it into a bridge, and he built a camp called Camp Joy so little boys and girls could get saved. Evangelist Monty Watts from our church here spent his youth in an iron lung. But he didn't let that get him down. He took the burden and he turned it into a bridge. And he wrote a book called The Iron Lung to the Pulpit. And he has foundation conferences. That's a preaching conference all across America. You take Mrs. Evans. I looked back here earlier. Her bout with cancer. And then she turns around and writes a book called Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend. What is that? She's a bridge builder. All she did was build a bridge with her burden. You take Fanny Crosby, the great songwriter. She was blind. But you listen to her songs. What a wonderful bridge builder. What are you going to do with your burden? Now you can let that burden make you weak, or you can let that burden make you strong. I'm saying to you, take your burden and turn it into a bridge. And the heavier your burden, the stronger your bridge. And make it into a bridge for your own success. My third thought. Your burden could be a bridge for others. Your burden could be a bridge for others. Now you listen to me. It's easy for me to say to a wealthy person, why don't you become giving? Why don't you meet the need of someone? But let me say to all of you that have burdens, don't you be stingy with that burden now. Don't you sit around and whine about that burden. Don't you let that burden get you down. God gave you that burden to make it into a productive thing. God didn't give it to you to get you down. God gave it to you to get you up and to do something with your life, because somebody needs you. While you lay there in despair and you mourn and you grieve, God planned for you to get up and look that thing right square in the eye and say, you'll not get me down. Somebody's dependent on me. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're going through. Somebody needs you. It doesn't matter to me if you're a teenager. It doesn't matter to me if you're married or single or you're old or young. I'm telling you, your burden was not given to you to get you down. Your burden was given to you to turn it into a bridge and to help yourself and to help a lot of people. Don't you be stingy with that burden. Use your burden as a bridge for other people. My life's verse is Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As you carry your burden, and you turn it into a bridge, there are other people that have hardships in their life. You know, we're awful self-centered. We think the whole world rotates around us, and you think you're the only one in the world that's ever had that heartache. No, there are multiplied thousands, and they're looking for someone that's not going to let it get them down so that that other person that's bearing the same burden you have could walk across your bridge. Now, what are you going to do about it? You're going to let everybody crash because the bridge is out? Somebody needs you to take your burden and turn it into a bridge so they can be a success. A young lady attended Hiles Anderson College. It was Thanksgiving time. She said, Brother Owens, I'm excited. I'm going to see my dad. I've not seen him since I was probably about 3 years old. Now she's a 19, 20-year-old girl. She said, I'm going home. I'm going to visit him. It's the very first time I've seen him. I've lived with my mom. Obviously, it's a separated family situation. When she came back, she didn't have an appointment, but she was standing outside my office door trembling and weeping. I mentioned her name. I said, step in. What's wrong? She said, I have to have somebody to talk to. She said, Brother Owens, it was going really good. I was riding home with my dad. I'd not seen him, didn't even recognize him. She said, we traveled all day long and talked, and it was fantastic. She said, we got to the hotel room that night, and my dad tried to molest me. She said, he didn't get anywhere. I ran. She said, I don't understand. My own dad. And I wept with her. I said, I don't understand either. I said, but don't let it stop you. Don't let it get you down. That very weekend, I watched her bringing a teenage girl from a public school down an aisle here. That college girl had a big smile on her face, and her convert had gotten saved and was getting baptized, and she came to my office afterwards, and she said this. She said, for the one day, I don't understand how, why it worked this way, but she said, I was soul winning in my Bible club area on Saturday, and I met a little girl, and she was crying. I walked up to her, and I tried to comfort her and talk to her, and the little girl said, you won't understand. You won't understand. And this girl said, yes, I'll try to understand. She said, my dad hurts me. And this college girl said, I broke down and put my arms around her. I said, I do understand. And I love you, and I want to help you. And she got to lead her to Christ. What did she do? She built a bridge. Because somebody had to have that bridge. While you're mourning and grieving, and God knows I'm sorry for you, I'd be willing to cry with you for a little while, but sooner or later, folks, we got to pick ourselves up. We got to do something about it. about it. We can't continue to grieve. Hey, some of you have been in despair way too long. You've been down too long. Now get up, 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 and look that thing right square in the eye and say, you're not going to get me. I'm going to get you. Somebody needs that burden turned into a bridge. Why? They need to walk over your bridge. We're stingy. Brother Hiles carried his burden. Boy, did he build a bridge. Look at the bridge Brother Hiles has built. Most of us know the story. He was a poor boy. Dad drank. Had it tough. But he did not let that burden get him down. He let it push him up. His bridge had to be heavy. He had to go through what he went through. It had to be tough. Why? God needed a durable bridge. God needed a big bridge. How big of a bridge? Hey, you do not understand the burden of Jack Hiles. You do not. You do not understand the pain and the suffering and the agony. Hey, you just look at the depth of that man's love. I promise you, he's paid a price to get there. He's paid a terrible price to get there. We don't understand the burden, but we do understand the bridge, don't we? We understand the bridge for a national pastor school for over 30 years, and the world's greatest Bible college, and the world's largest Sunday school, and over 1 million people walking the aisles under his preaching. You understand the bridge, don't you? Well, that bridge was built by a burden, and thank God, Jack Hiles carried his burden. He looked at it. He said, you'll not get me down. I'll build a bridge. And he says to you, come on over. Come on. I got the bridge built. Come on. Come on. Now, somebody's depending on you to build a bridge. Many of you have crossed the bridge of salvation because Brother Hiles just hung in there. He just hung in there. You know, the only thing some of you are building is a sign that says bridge out. Bridge out. He said, Brother Owens, do you hurt with me? Yes, I do. And I'll cry with anybody in this room. But there comes a point when you need to stop crying. And you need to get up. You need to get going. Your life is ahead of you. You say, I don't feel like it is. It is. Trust me, it is. It's out there. God doesn't leave anybody destitute. God is there. He's waiting for you to start building. You say, I've never seen it this way. It's not a burden. Excuse you. That's what my mother taught me to say. You know, God's looking for someone in this room possibly to lead fundamentalism someday. You'll pay a price. The people going to come across your bridge, it's got to be durable. Hey, allow your burden to become a bridge for the sake of your parents. They may need to come across your bridge someday. Allow your burden to become a bridge. Why, Brother Owen? Your wife may need to come across it someday. Allow your burden to become a bridge. Your husband may need to come across that bridge someday. Parents, listen to me now. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Don't keep fighting with each other, but keep fighting. Keep fighting the battle for good and right. Why? You have children, and somebody's got to build a bridge for those children. Hey, deacons of First Baptist Church, hang in there. Do right. Why? The future of this church depends on you bearing your burden and building a bridge. Your children need you to build that bridge. People you don't even know need you to build that bridge. People you've not even made contact with yet, they need you to build that bridge. A bridge for somebody else. I didn't choose to have my burdens, but I did choose to try to build something out of them. What you need to do is you need to grab that burden by the throat. You say, you're not going to get me. You're not going to get me. I'm not going to stay down. I'm getting up. And some of you just need to get up. You need to get up tonight. You need to knowledgeably say, okay, it's hard, and I hurt, and I hurt, and I hurt, but I will fight on for Christ while I hurt. Hey, I'm under a heavy load, but I'll walk on, and I'll make it. I can do it. And you can. My wife and I, as we grew up, we talked about this some today. Within our immediate families, we've seen 15 divorces. We have lots of brothers and sisters. 15. I can remember as a boy laying in my room weeping over that. I said, that's not fair. It's not right. To the point where I hate the devastation that divorce causes. I don't hate divorced people. I love them. But I hate the devastation. I hate the pain of it. I hate it with a passion. Never understood it. And I used to say to myself, that's not right, that's not fair. Little did I know that many years later, as a young man, the house would say, Jeff, I need you to work with young married couples. I need you to help them. We had 261 people in our Sunday school class this morning, all married people. I've had the privilege of remarrying four different couples that have been divorced, and I was able to help them put their marriages back together. You know, when I was a kid, I used to weep. I'd say, I don't understand, God. Why's Grandpa doing that? I'd go to Grandpa's house, and Grandma wasn't there anymore. My grandfather was divorced five times. And I would say, I don't like, I hate this. But God said, bear it. Bear it. You can take it. You can take it. Hey, find out what the Bible says about that. Make for good marriage and help people with it. Help people with it. And I thank God I was able to hang in there. Oh, it wasn't easy. And I've not been an angel by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm saying to you, take your burden, build a bridge for somebody else's success. An old man traveled a lone highway. He came to a cavern, cold, dark, and gray. He crossed in the twilight dim, for the solemn stream held no fears for him. But he paused as he reached the other side, and he built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, why waste your time in your building here? You've crossed the cavern deep and wide. Why build your bridge to span the tide? The old gray-haired builder lifted his head and said, here followeth after me today a fair-haired youth whose feet must also pass this way. And although not to me, to him, this cavern may a pitfall be. He too must cross in twilight dim. And good friend, I build this bridge for him. Build a bridge. Build it for somebody else. And let me take you finally to the ultimate bridge builder. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And one day they handed him a stick. After they had beaten him to a pulp and put a crown of thorns on his head, they laid that old, rugged stick on his back. They nailed him to that stick. We call it the old, rugged cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. As he hung there, he died. And I think the burden probably said, we got him. We've got him. The burden said, I got him down. But 3 days later, he came up. And you know what he did? He took that stick. Jesus took the burden of the cross, and he set it between himself, and he made a little bridge between here and heaven. And he said, okay, folks, the price paid. Come on over. All taken care of. The price has been paid. The Bible says in Romans 5:10, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's Jesus taking the cross and building a bridge. His death, his burial, and resurrection made it so there was a bridge back to God for sinful man. I don't know why God would have me preach this message tonight. I do know the great love of our pastor and his concern for our burdens and our heartache. He loves you. I can't love you like he does. I wish I could love like that. I do want to say I love you. And I want to help you. And that's the whole purpose of this message. To help somebody has a burden. And I never want to say, get back to your burden. Take it. Build a bridge out of it. If it's heavy, it's just going to be a strong bridge. That burden can help you to succeed and help a lot of other people. Don't let your burden walk on you. You walk on your burden. If you're unsaved, Jesus invites you across the bridge called salvation. Paid in full, you just received the free gift. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.